Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. It is the Karsh and Anderson radio program. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Scott, how are you today?
I'm all right, Doug.
Yeah?
Yep.
Anything exciting last night in the Gator household?
Anything exciting? Not terribly exciting, no. Mom stopped by the house for a little bit, and dog was all excited.
How's mom doing?
She's doing well.
Good.
Very well, thank you.
Good. Good soul on that woman.
Yes. Very,
good
very much
spirit
so.
About her.
Very much so. But no, you watch the Pistons. Right. Right? I mean, they got down big and then come back. It's the NBA, right? And just waiting for them to come back because they're a better team than Atlanta is. And you expected it. But they just didn't match it up defensively throughout the game, which is really, that's the disappointing part to me. You know, losing on a last second shot, okay, I get it. But you gave up 132 points in an NBA game.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't happen. You should be much better than that defensively. So this is a yuck, throw it in the garbage game and move on. But I come out of it wondering if the Pistons are simply, and nothing wrong with this year because it's massive growth. Are they a 500 basketball team? And does a 500 record, does that put you in the top six? Or does that just mean that you're a play-in team? You know, is anywhere between is 7 and 10. And I'm not sure where that is just yet, but I like the team. They're exciting to watch most nights. And last night was an exciting game, even though I hated the finish and I hated who knocked the shot down.
Do you know how there's like parts of yourself that you'd like to improve on or things that you don't like about yourself? Or do you like everything about yourself and don't think you need any improvement?
Do I like everything about myself?
Yeah.
No, I don't like it.
Because I think one of my least favorite parts of myself is how much I dislike Trae Young. It's unhealthy.
When this got revealed a couple of years ago, I was stunned.
I can't stand this guy.
And now, ever since you said that, like it's been like 3 years now since you mentioned it, how much you despise watching Trae Young, and you articulated it very well. And it's simple. The guy hunts fouls. That's all he does.
He's an unethical scorer.
And yet he's really freaking good at what he does. Obviously, he can knock down shots like nobody's business, like he did last night, but he hunts for fouls. That's job number one for him, is to draw fouls. And when you mentioned that a few years ago, I'm like, yeah, is it that bad? Or is Doug just exaggerating? Is this his whole Dominique Wilkins take? Mm-hmm. Oh, look, it's another Atlanta Hawk he's talking about. And then you realize, no, this is a legitimate take. He's irritating as hell. Because all he cares about is drawing the foul.
And yet now it's gotten to the point where everything, like the celebration last night, the fact that he was given 3 when it was so clearly a 2. The scowl, like I can't stand the way the man plays. And he's a really good player.
Every shot
there's
he's expecting
nothing,
a foul on every
there's
shot.
Nothing, there's nothing like I just don't like this side of me. I really don't.
Well, the thing is, we always do this, right? Hey, if he were a Piston, how would you feel? Well, if he were a Piston, how would I feel? I'd probably love him. Because the guy gets, Cade Cunningham got to the line last night.
That makes me, if you say that and you imply that I would love Trae Young if he played for the Pistons, that makes me dislike myself even more.
But if you're like, or an organic Piston as opposed to traded to, if the Pistons had drafted this guy, cultivated this guy, you watched him grow and like, wow, he's so talented. He knocks down all these shots. He's quick as hell. Mm-hmm. He distributes the basketball and he draws a ton of fouls. I don't think you'd dislike him.
Okay.
Maybe the hairline.
We'll get into it a little bit later on. This Piston game last night. It's just an irrational part of me that I don't particularly like. But yeah, so we had that game on last night. I don't know if I told the story. I think I did, that my son is home. He had shoulder surgery, so we've got the oldest home. Where he's working from home this week, and we're helping him get back. So he's at home, which makes everything a little bit more exciting. There's a lot more going on, and watching games with him is funny because you notice that a 22-year-old notices different things than a person of our age. Like, I don't know, things like the shoes the guys are wearing or the what the celebration is. Like, I don't know, that has a name. Like,
right.
It's just so
looking at different social media things.
We did flip around and notice that The Bachelor has started a new season and they were having a basketball game. A 5-on-5 Bachelorettes versus Bachelorettes basketball game.
Okay. How'd that work out for you?
There was nobody in that game that I disliked as much as I disliked Trae Young.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. How'd it work out for you? I mean, there was traveling all over the place.
What?
There was terrible officiating.
Well, that's the NBA. You just watched the NBA.
I thought
a lot of Euro stepping.
Jesse Palmer seemed unprepared as a play-by-play guy. I mean, the whole thing.
Did he say count that baby in a foul?
No, he didn't.
Oh.
So, I was disappointed.
Did he say bang?
I was disappointed in the game.
Bang!
Too many replays? Bogging down the game?
It just, I was not happy with it.
Did they have Red Panda?
They did not have Red Panda.
Oh, they missed an opportunity.
Was there incessant music in the background?
Yeah, the cameramen were on the court. I mean, it was a ridiculous game.
This is how you find true love.
An absolute ridiculous game, yeah.
Was Flo Rida involved?
Dude, there was one girl that attacked another girl. Like, she got mad.
Oh.
And
like Draymond Green?
Like, boom, to the face.
Oh. To the face?
Yeah, two fists.
Not the face.
To the face.
To the face? They don't even do that in the NBA.
No.
Nobody punches anybody. Yeah,
no, they fake fight in the NBA. This was real.
Just posturing.
There was a more of a punch thrown in the Bachelorette basketball game than in any NBA game in the last.
Well,
decade.
Now I'm interested.
Let's see if I can find it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And then I went back to the Piston game. Okay, we have a fascinating exercise with the Myles Garrett trade. I want possibilities. Gator, I wanted to tell you what we have in store here. The Athletic had writers of Garrett needy teams put together trade proposals to get Myles Garrett. They submitted them all to the Browns reporter, and he accepted one.
Okay.
I will tell you that the Pistons did make a trade proposal. Lions made a trade proposal for Myles Garrett. Was it accepted? We will get to that today at 10:18 here on Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, so think about this right now. Your garage door, and you open it and you close it. Is it making crazy noises right now? Is it going a little slower than you expected it to? Well, it might need some normal maintenance, which means you should call the folks at Precision Garage Door. They're awesome. I've had them over at my house a couple of times, once for maintenance because things were just working kind of slowly. And it was then that they said, look, in a couple of years, you're going to have to replace these doors. But right now, we can kind of maintain them through the duration, which is exactly what happened. We got some stuff to make sure that everything was working right. But I had to get those doors replaced. And when I did, I called them, and they were amazing. The whole crew came by. They walked me through all the steps and all the options I had, and there were a ton of options, which was great. And I had a new garage door installed in no time. In fact, they've got a warehouse that's full of garage doors. So in some cases, they can install that door in as less as 24 hours. This is awesome. Give them a call today, Precision Door, Garage Door, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or schedule an appointment at precisiondoormi.com.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday in Detroit. Yes, we will get to both the Pistons and the Red Wings and the Tigers. They're all in the news today. But, you know, a story broke yesterday that Myles Garrett was demanding a trade out of Cleveland. And the belief is this is not an effort to get himself a new contract. Like, he really wants out of Cleveland. And he has said that he wants to go play for a Super Bowl contending team. And I can think of a team.
Can you?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
The Athletic actually did something very interesting. I thought this was a fun exercise. 10 Garrett needy teams put together trade options, and then the Browns beat writer would mull over the options and accept a deal.
I like this idea. I like this exercise.
Now, what we're not going to do is give you all 10 trade options. We would lose the audience. There's a lot of draft picks involved. I think it would get rather lengthy and boring. It appears as though he came down to considered five of them when it was all said and done. We start with the Buffalo Bills offer. The Buffalo Bills writer for The Athletic offers a 2025 first, which is 30 behind Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Their second round pick this year, which is 62. A fourth round pick this year. Their first round pick next year.
Oh, wow.
Defensive end A.J. Epineza.
Okay, wow.
And cornerback Kyir Elam.
That is a lot to give up.
For Myles Garrett, a third round this year.
Okay.
And a sixth rounder next year.
That's a hefty price.
That is a hefty price.
That's two starters on defense, two first round picks, a second and a fourth. And you have to give up a third? That's a lot. That's a heavy price.
Yep. I was like, that was one of the first offers I read, and I'm like,
that's going to be tough to beat.
It's going to be tough to beat.
Because Epineza's good, and Elam's good.
Well, Elam's had to play more because of injury, but yeah, I mean, this is a, I would imagine that they would be playing and starting in Chicago. They would then have two first-round picks each of the next 2 years. It feels like a franchise re-energizing.
The Bears have had a lot of draft capital in the last couple of years here.
The
Bears. Did you say the Bears?
No, it was Buffalo.
Buffalo, I'm sorry.
Buffalo made the trade. I'm getting to the Bears proposal now.
That's where I was mistaken.
The Bears proposal for Myles Garrett is their first round pick this year at 10.
Mm.
Their second round pick this year at 41, and their first round pick next year.
Wow.
For Myles Garrett. So better draft picks this year. So that would give Cleveland two picks in the top 10 this year.
I would do that trade over the Buffalo trade.
Would you?
Yeah, because it's the higher picks.
Okay.
Much higher picks. The good thing about the Buffalo deal is you're getting the players. There's no players involved here. But it probably my initial reaction is I'd lean towards the Bears deal over the Bills deal. Next one.
Next trade. These are done alphabetically. These are the ones that also were apparently the finalists. Detroit.
Okay.
The Detroit offer, according to The Athletic, is this year's first at 28. This year's third. Next year's first.
Mm-hmm.
And quarterback Hendon Hooker. In return, the Lions get Myles Garrett and a 2026 fourth round pick.
You know, I love Hendon Hooker, but I'd give him up in a heartbeat to land Myles Garrett.
I think everybody would.
So this is two first, a third, and Hendon Hooker?
For
a third.
Garrett and a fourth.
And a fourth? Yeah, yep. I'd do it. Yep. Absolutely. Because, again, all I care about at this point is winning a damn Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. This team is so talented, and you're giving up a player off your roster in Hendon Hooker that hasn't contributed to winning a Super Bowl. Not that he's a bad player, because I think he's got a really bright future. But so I haven't given up anything that's affected the Lions in this trade. And I'm getting Myles Garrett. Yep. Thank you.
Next up, the Chargers offer for Myles Garrett. A first this year at 22, a third this year, and Joey Bosa for Myles Garrett.
If I were Cleveland, I'd say absolutely not. Because Bosa's oft injured, and I'm only getting one first-round pick.
You're getting a first and a third this year in Joey Bosa.
No, thank you. Not nearly enough. Now, this is what's interesting, because these are people in the media are doing this, right?
These are writers for The Athletic, their proposal.
So remember what Diana Rossini said that a GM told her was that these people are going to, I can't wait for all the takes of let's give them three first-round picks. He said this is going to be a first-round plus. And so far, before the first three offers, Buffalo, Chicago, and Detroit all involved two first-round picks, correct?
Yep.
And then some, and a lot in other cases. This is the first one that's only offering up one first-round pick, but it's also offering up Joey Bosa. Interesting.
Next, the Washington Commanders offer for Myles Garrett.
Oh, boy.
Their first-round pick this year, 29. Their first-round pick next year. Offensive tackle Brandon Coleman and defensive tackle Deron Payne.
Wow.
For Garrett, a fifth this year and a sixth next year.
Mm. Interesting. I don't think it's the draft capital is good enough for Cleveland to say, yeah, I'd do that. Deron Payne's really good, but Deron Payne's also a ton of money you're taking on. I'd probably decline that one.
Okay, so those are the five. The Cleveland writer basically said it comes down to these five offers. Other teams that made, Indianapolis was in there with an offer. Atlanta was in there with an offer. Green Bay was in there with an offer. But none of them, the writer was interested in. I can't remember who else was in there. But that was the five finalists.
So I think it's interesting because Chicago has the highest draft picks.
Yep.
And when you're talking about giving up pick number 10, pick number 41, and the next year's first, was that the other part of it? I think Chicago was two firsts and a third, or two firsts and a second. They're high picks.
Yep.
Those high picks in this draft are important, and then you're getting next year's first-round pick. So Myles Garrett on the Bears with a rookie quarterback and a first-year head coach, is that a playoff team or not? Could be. Could very well be if they do that.
So here's the thing about this is that this is not a – Chicago's not a Super Bowl contender. And Myles Garrett wants to go to a Super Bowl contender, right? So is this actually – would that actually be in play? Can you get him to agree to that trade?
Well, that's a great point to bring up.
Yep.
I mean – look, I would, if I were Chicago, I would sell like hell saying, absolutely, we've got the right coach now. We've got all these offensive players in place. We've got great defensive players in place, and we're adding you. Yes, we are a Super Bowl contending team. But from the outside looking in, you're going to a team that didn't make the playoffs, and you're in a division that is the toughest division in football.
It's a leap of faith.
Yeah, I'll pass on the Bears if you're Myles Garrett.
I don't think it's as hard to sell Chicago as it is other teams. I think if you have a quarterback on your team, you could sell a lot of free agents, a lot of players that, hey, we're in contention. Because I think the ultimate goal is the Super Bowl, of course, but how do you get the ultimate goal? You get into the tournament. That's what a lot of coaches, Dan Campbell says it all the time, get us in the tournament and we can make noise. You literally saw the Commanders come in with a brand new coach and a brand new quarterback more than make some noise this past year, right? And so it may seem unlikely, and I agree with you guys there. I think you could sell the Bears to Myles Garrett. It's not like selling the Raiders or someone. You don't even have a team that has no future quarterback or no current quarterback on their team. I think this list, though, that you're doing, Doug, and this information with these trade proposals tells you, in all Lions fans, you have competition if this guy hits the market for real. It's not just, hey, here's two first-rounders. It's over and done with. Easy peasy.
Right.
You know, there's going to be other teams going after him as well.
All right, straight ahead, we'll tell you which offer that the Browns accept for Myles Garrett. Is it Detroit's? That's at 10:31 here on Carson Anderson, 97.1. All right, fun little exercise they did in The Athletic where all the beat writers of Myles Garrett needy teams put together trade proposals to get Myles Garrett, defensive player of the year, caliber player, edge rusher from the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, these writers said, okay, this would make sense for the team I cover. And then they proposed him, and the Browns beat writer can accept one, or I guess he can reject them all. He writes, Chicago offers tempting because the Browns could immediately show their fans and ownership group a rebuild that includes four of the first 41 picks this year, plus a first rounder next year. That offer is simply a lot better than many of the others. So again, that's Chicago's pick at 10, their second round pick on their first rounder next year. That would give them four of the first 41 picks this year and two first rounders next year. Yeah, that would be attractive. And you like that trade from a Browns perspective. Regarding the Detroit trade, the Hooker addition makes Detroit's deal intriguing, but a backup quarterback isn't going to be enough here. New England could probably have added Joe Milton and another player to get into the bidding. New England had a proposal that wasn't a finalist. Buffalo, and Detroit's offer was a first and a third this year and a first next year and Hendon Hooker for Garrett and a fourth next year. Buffalo, this was my favorite proposal if I were Cleveland. I think a first this year, a second this year, a fourth this year, a first next year, defensive end A.J. Epinesa and cornerback Kyir Elam. For Garrett, a third this year and a sixth next year. Nice offer by Buffalo, including Rousseau. Forget about the Amari Cooper swap and call us back tomorrow. For the Chargers deal, if you missed the Chargers deal earlier,
The problem I have with that Buffalo deal, for Cleveland's sake,
yeah,
is that those draft picks, the first round picks, it's great to get multiple first round picks, but it'd be the same thing the Lions are going to give you. It's a late first round pick. It's really hard to get jazzed about that. But they did throw in players.
Yep.
But it's just not as enticing as other teams that draft higher.
So, yeah, I like the players. And that's why I do it. I like having some known commodities along with the draft picks, which are the unknown commodities. But next up, the Chargers deal, which was a first and a third this year, and Joey Bosa. He writes, as for the Chargers, I can't see the Browns bringing in being in the Joey Bosa business right now. Then he writes, I think Washington's offer is the best, given that Cleveland also needs youth across the offensive line. Washington would be betting that a 2026 first rounder would again be a late pick, but I think the Browns certainly would want a 2026 first round selection. The Commanders might get it done if they'd also throw in a late 2026 pick and take cornerback Greg Newsome II and his fully guaranteed $13 million 2025 fifth-year option off the Browns' hands. So he likes the Washington offer the most. What this exercise does, as mentioned, is it implies that we can sit here and put together deals that we think make sense. What only thing that gets this done is being the best offer that they get.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody else is willing to go further, you're either A, out, or B, have to add. The Detroit picks of two firsts, a third, and Hendon Hooker are such a 1,000% yes for me from a Detroit perspective. I can't imagine that would be the best offer that they would get. I would have to think, if we're doing radio in Cleveland, I'd be like, this is the best offer, huh?
This is a sort of unknown factor in this with that offer for Cleveland. Detroit is the only team that we've mentioned there that's offering up a quarterback. Now, Hendon Hooker hasn't really played much, as we know, but he does have a huge upside. The player he was in college prior to getting hurt was going to win the Heisman Trophy until he got hurt. He was awfully good. He's played very sparingly in his first couple years in the league because of recovering from that injury, and then this year just because, fortunately, knocking on wood, that Jared Goff has been healthy for the Lions, that you don't need to use a backup quarterback. But it's an unknown commodity because you haven't seen him. You don't really know what he is. It's just a thought of how high his ceiling is. And if you're Cleveland, you need a quarterback. You're stuck right now for at least another year with a horrible situation at quarterback.
And your Watson's contract, yeah, which is, I think, a $72 million cap hit each of the next 2 years.
Now, you could draft one. with the second overall pick that you have. But, I mean, I'm not in love with Cam Ward. I'm not in love with Shedeur Sanders, and I'm not in love with Jackson Dart. I think they're all good quarterbacks, but none of them scream to me like, oh, this guy is can't miss. And not that Hendon Hooker does either. But what Hendon Hooker would offer you, if I'm trying to sweeten this for Detroit's side, what he offers Cleveland is that, okay, he's completely healthy now. He's got a couple of years under his belt of sitting on the sidelines, watching a team work with, and it's a team that has the best offense in football, that you might feel better about that. And I don't have to use a second pick overall on a quarterback. I can use that on either Abdul Carter, if he's there, to replace Myles Garrett, or I go out and take, you know, Travis Hunter, who's a two-way player, could be a great receiver or the best cover corner in college football here. I can use one of those and really kind of set myself forward.
Yeah, to me, personally, if I'm in Cleveland's shoes, Hendon Hooker to me is not a commodity. He's a throw-in. He's not a player that I would have much of a... I'd be like, at the end, I'd be like, also, see if you can get Hendon Hooker. I wouldn't be building a real piece I was think I was getting back.
Well, this is also the unknown. You don't know what another organization thinks. You don't know how highly they regarded that player. They may say the same thing you're saying, or they may be more on where I'm at, where I think I think he still has huge upside, but he's getting blocked here in Detroit because Detroit's got a great quarterback.
Yeah, I look at a player who's 27 years old and has barely played, and I'm not sure that I can even – I would have to have loved him out of college, but even then – to have him sitting on the bench with very little evidence of what he can do in the NFL. Personally, I wouldn't have that much interest other than throw him in at the end kind of deal. Is he intriguing? Yeah. But given what they're going to want to do, I think they're going to draft a quarterback this year or next year. I think they're going to be like the Lions were when they traded for the two picks for Matthew Stafford. Is originally the thought was we're going to get a quarterback with one of these two picks. I think the likelihood of Hendon Hooker being able to answer the bell at quarterback the way Jared Goff did are very, very slim, but maybe they love him, right? So the funny thing is, as I looked at the feedback that came in, there was a lot of you've got to get Myles Garrett. If he's available, you have to get him. And I would say if he's available, you have to call. I would go that far. I wouldn't say if he's available, you have to get him. I want to take you back into the Wayback Machine to the trade deadline this year.
No, the Wayback Machine.
Yes. So we're going to go all the way back like two and a half months here. Do you remember the Mike Tannenbaum trade proposal?
I do.
From Myles Garrett? Mike Tannenbaum
I don't even want you to repeat it because it's uncomfortable.
Mike Tannenbaum suggested that Detroit, to get Myles Garrett, give up a 2025 first, a 2026 first, a 2027 first,
and
Jahmyr Gibbs for Myles Garrett. Can we all agree it's okay to walk away? It's okay to walk away. You're allowed to walk away. And I think we'd all have different sliding scale as to when you would walk away. But, yeah, there's plenty of examples of walk-away trade proposals, and that's why I could never say some of the feedback we saw yesterday. I mean, there were some people fully committed to making this happen, no matter what the cost, and I'm in the it's okay to say no. Because I go back to something we said yesterday. They went 15-2 with half a defense. In theory, they're going to be getting all those guys back. Others will get hurt. They probably are going to have more luck next year with injuries. They already went 15-2, were the one seed and a strong Super Bowl contender without Myles Garrett. They will be better just by standing pat. They'll be better, let alone what they could do with a little bit of cap space and their draft capital. Which is why, again, I don't know that if I'm Detroit, I call, I ask, but if some of these offers come in, this becomes that make you have to really, really dig deep. I'm okay with walking away.
Well, I keep thinking about these are media offers, and if there are GMs out there saying that, look, this is unrealistic to think that you're going to get more than two first-round picks for the player, that it would be a one-plus, I'm conceding. I think it is two because if you're the Lions, because of where you're drafting, just like if Buffalo is going to go after it, because of where you're drafting, it would take two first-round picks. But I'm okay with that. Does the thought of just the number, ooh, two first, trump a 10th overall pick and the 41st overall pick and then some? Probably not. But I want to do it. I'd love to – if the Lions are in that position and Cleveland is insisting it's two first-round picks for Myles Garrett and maybe a third-round pick or something like that, I got to do it. I got to do it because – I think having a defense with both Aiden Hutchinson.
Wait a second. Two firsts and a third?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I think having a defense with, because that might be more realistic than what's being bandied about here from the media. But having that defense with two stud defensive ends so vastly improves what you do defensively. It's absolutely Super Bowl or bust. I understand what you're saying. And hey, just trying to stand pat with what you had from last year because everybody got hurt last year. Now, it would have been amazing to see a healthier Lions team against that Washington team, right? Would be awesome to see that.
Am I wrong for thinking if it's easy, it's not realistic?
If what's easy?
If it's an easy yes from Detroit's perspective, then it's not realistic. Like if any proposal that we come up with is an easy yes for Detroit, it's probably not realistic.
I don't know because again, I'm thrown by what that GM said to Diana Rossini.
Yeah,
that's what kind of has me going because I think the easy part for Lions fans and me included is the F them picks mentality because I think that's where they should be at now. If there's a player that falls from the sky, that guy, hell yeah. F them picks, let's go get them. You know, the Rams had a screaming need at defensive back, and they said, F them picks, get me Jalen Ramsey. You know, go get me Von Miller or whatever it was. They went for it, and they got a Super Bowl out of it. And I think the Lions are in a position right now where they can do the same if that player were to fall from the sky. And lo and behold, Doug, that player has fallen from the sky. Myles Garrett is available.
Yeah, I guess I'm fully convinced if it's easy, it's not realistic. I hope that GM is right, and if he is, I hope the Lions make a move on that. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback next, 97.1.
Look, you see the red, white, and blue trucks all over the place. They're out there to help people like you that are going through a real rough time right now. If you've got a problem with your furnace, you got burst pipes, you got real problems. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, they're out there to help you out. They are amazing people. They've come to my house a couple times over the last few years, and they bailed me out of some rough situations. Like a water heater issue that I had and it was leaking. I need to get a whole new water heater. Look, it was a pain, but they got it done. They got it done quickly, and that's what I loved about it. They're so professional. They're awesome. And listen, if you've got those problems I mentioned now that it's wintertime, you know how difficult it is to schedule something to have it done quickly and have it done right by professionals. These guys are expert technicians. You can take my word for it, or you can go ahead and check out the A-plus rating they have from the Better Business Bureau. They've got 5-star reviews on Google. They're awesome. So whether it's your furnace or your water heater or a boiler or water filtration, schedule an appointment at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com, or you can just give them a call. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. Look, I can appreciate that everybody in Detroit is peaked. The interest is peaked. Mine is as well, Myles Garrett. I just would warn for all the trade proposals and everything that people want to do, if it's easy, it's probably not realistic. Now, there is that line from a GM that Diana Rossini had yesterday that said all these three first-round pick talk, he thought it was crazy, paraphrasing here, that it's going to be a first plus. If that's the case, I'll be shocked. And if I were a Cleveland fan, I would be devastated. But as somebody very astutely pointed out yesterday, is Cleveland a well-run organization? Is Cleveland an organization that typically makes good decisions?
No.
Is Cleveland an organization that has been known to botch things?
Yes.
So it is certainly possible. And I am fearful of something that just happened in sports is going to change sports talk radio forever. I think people are going to come up with crazier crap than ever because of the Luka trade. I think people are going to think because Dallas gave up on Luka for what appears to be such a lopsided deal that it's only going to lead to more crazy trade proposals.
Doug, you love to operate with guardrails.
Yep.
As soon as the Luka trade happened, guardrails completely ripped off for any other trade proposals in like sports. At least for the next month here, or six months, but no matter what, the Luka trade is so fresh right now. Everyone can just go, well, look what just happened. Yep. The untouchable just got traded.
Yep. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. Is there a walk away? Can you see yourself walking away from anything? Because there's a lot of people out there that are saying, I get them at any cost. You got to get them. Here we go. This is regarding the Athletic trade proposal and how the Lions did catch the writer's attention. The Lions proposal caught the writer's attention. And let's be clear. It was all the Athletic writers proposed a trade, and then the Cleveland writer accepted one. And he went after Washington's more than Detroit's, which was two firsts, a third, and Hendon Hooker. From an unnamed texter, I feel like Hendon Hooker moves the needle zero in a trade proposal. He's shown absolutely nothing in the NFL. I tend to agree with that. What we don't know is did they love him out of college? But even then, they'd try and get him for nothing because he's done nothing. I think the perfect ones for Garrett are Washington and the Bears. That's from Mike. Washington offered, it was two players, an O-lineman, a defensive lineman, and three picks. The Bears offered 10, their first rounder next year and their second rounder this year. I love when everyone wants to put Hendon Hooker in hypothetical trades. Cleveland doesn't want Hendon Hooker. They love Dorian Thompson-Robinson. They're going to love their own guy over our guy. And that's from Randy and Livonia. From Dave and Graham Blank, I trade every pick I have in this year's draft and Hendon Hooker to go get Myles Garrett. Dead serious. Pulling a Dickie here because Super Bowl. From Brian, I would give up a 2024 first round pick, a 2025 first round pick, Hendon Hooker, and J-Mo. Well, that starts to get into that would hurt, and that would create a hole on the offense because they'd need a number two wide receiver. They wouldn't have a first round pick in either of the next two drafts to go get a number two wide receiver. Myles Garrett would take up a whole bunch of the cap, which would make it even more difficult to acquire a number two wide receiver. You're really cutting into the offense, right? If you did that,
you would be, but that's the strength of the team is on the offensive side. I'm not advocating for this, but if I'm trying to look at the other bright sides of that, if you're doing that, that's one of the players you'd be trading away. If the Lions, did you have a decision to make down the road of do you extend him or not? And that's, again, one of those players who would fit into that group of players that if you bring Myles Garrett, you're going to have to make an uncomfortable decision. So maybe that it might, if you include him in the trade, maybe you don't have to make an uncomfortable decision down the road.
No, but if you have to make the uncomfortable decision and if they decide for whatever reason that J-Mo's not going to work out and they're not going to re-sign him and they won't pick up the option, they still have all those resources to go get a receiver, right? They still have the multiple first-round picks that they don't give up, and they still have the cap space that they would still have. But if the offense is good enough, I mean, is the offense good enough without J-Mo? They've played a lot of games without J-Mo. I probably wouldn't do that. I feel like this team is already so close, I wouldn't cut into its strength that much.
All right, then would you replace Hendon Hooker with Jack Campbell?
No, it's the J-Mo thing that has me hesitating.
I know. I'm saying, so I'm going back to the original. So I know you wouldn't do it because you want to take away from the offense, which is already a good thing. I'm saying, what if you were to throw Jack Campbell in the mix? Would you be comfortable? I know you wouldn't be comfortable with.
What's the trade you're proposing? I'm confused.
The two Lions first round picks and Jack Campbell to get Myles Garrett. Because this player, this person was saying to do the picks, but throw in Jamison Williams instead of Hendon Hooker.
No, he said Hendon Hooker okay. And Jamo.
So Hendon Hooker and Jack Campbell.
Would I do that?
Because you're not taking away from the offense.
I probably wouldn't. But again, it's because of the price right now that you're paying for Jack Campbell and the number of years you have him under contract. I probably wouldn't, because I'm pretty sure they're going to pick up his last year. But I would consider it. I would consider it.
Kang, would you?
Two first, Jack Campbell, and a third.
Two first, Jack Campbell, and a third. Yes, as long as the money works out. Like, I'm not. Yeah, I want to eliminate myself from the money issue, because
that's a big.
Well, let's say Myles Garrett doesn't want a new deal. That makes things easier, right? Well, there's reports out there now that he's saying that.
The more I think about this, I probably wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't? Well, no, we know why, but.
Yeah. It's like losing a family member. You know?
Or someone even closer.
Hello, lover.
Let's go to Joe in St. Clair Shores. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Last year at the trade deadline, I said that I would give up every single one of my draft picks in this upcoming draft and the following next year's first round pick to get Myles Garrett. Everybody called me crazy, and I would still do the same exact thing right now. Listen, in my opinion, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell are in no danger of losing their jobs no matter what happens with an F those picks type of trade. We have the best general manager in football, the best guys at identifying talent. The price tag to me doesn't matter. I am going out there and I'm getting Myles Garrett because.
Would you do the Tannenbaum deal?
Say again?
Would you do the Tannenbaum deal? Three firsts and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Three firsts and Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yep.
It would be a lot harder for me to part with the players. I'm talking just draft picks, absolutely. I would do three firsts. You add in Gibbs too. I'm gonna bite my teeth down and not like it, but I'm doing it because our defense is instantly becoming the best in football, and offensively we're still a top five without Jahmyr Gibbs.
Gibbs is a player that makes
Jamo
everything on
instead of Jahmyr.
I think everybody would say they'd rather, if you're going to make a trade, that you'd go Jamo over Jahmyr, because Jahmyr makes everybody uncomfortable. Jahmyr Gibbs is like, that's the straw that stirs the drink with this offense. Like, Jared Goff runs the offense, there's no question about it. But Jahmyr Gibbs is so versatile with what he does. It still feels like we're just scratching the surface with Jahmyr Gibbs, how good he is.
I was listening to a national podcast during my 16 hours of driving this past weekend, and it was Ryan Russillo and Todd McShay. And they were talking about Ashton Jeanty and how good he is and how the running backs are. And Russillo made the comment, now, is he impact guy or is he like Jahmyr Gibbs impact guy? Like, that's how the nation, like an outsider's opinion, Jahmyr Gibbs is in the beginning stages of a difference-making elite weapon on offense.
Is he 2,100 yards from scrimmage and 15 touchdowns good or whatever it was last year?
Dude.
I mean, that's how freaking good he was last year.
248-539-9797, 97.1 The Ticket.